you to flip to the back of your service flyer our reading from Romans chapter 6. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we, who died to sin, still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin, once for all. But the life he lives to God. So, you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Well, good morning. I'm glad you're here this morning. This morning we continue our series of Are You? And we talk about baptized. Are you baptized? I want to start off this morning by asking you a question. Have you ever been the recipient of undeserved grace? Just like radically undeserved grace. Have you ever been the recipient of that? Try and think back of your life. I have a very tangible story that is quite unbelievably awesomely fits exactly what we're going to be talking about today. This is a true story of my life. Down in Fort Myers, Florida, where I was born and raised. Not born. Wow. I was not born there. Never mind. Where I was raised. There is an award given by the sheriff's office called the Do the Right Thing Award. And what happens is people are sending in letters to the sheriff's office, and every month they pick one kid to get the Do the Right Thing Award, and you get to go to the city council chambers, and you get your picture in the paper, and they do a little story about you, and you get the Do the Right Thing Award. You get a plaque, and you get a trophy, and you get this special ceremony, and you know who got a Do the Right Thing Award? This guy right here. Totally undeserved. Here's the story. You see, when I was in middle school, I think I was in about sixth grade, over the summer, I went to stay with my mom, and my mom had just gotten a new job as working at a museum. And mom didn't trust me to stay at home by myself all day. I was in middle school, so that tells you about where my behavior was. And so she brought me along to the museum every day. And so every day I was stuck at the museum, and so I began to learn different exhibits, and I began to give tours, and I volunteered for this and that, and I cleaned. But I was forced to be there. There was nothing good that I was doing. My mom wouldn't let me be at home. Well, unbeknownst to me, one of the donors of the museum had noticed that I had spent my whole summer there. And he writes a letter to the sheriff's office for the Do the Right Thing Award about this young man who gave his whole summer to the museum, who dedicated himself, who worked hard, who learned every task. And literally, my mom is reading the letter that we got, and she's like, who are they talking about? Like, you set the microwave on fire there. Like, are you kidding? So anyways, and I'm sitting there going, all right, let's get this award, you know? And so I get this award. I get this letter saying I get to have this special day, and the day's coming up. That day, I'm at school, St. Michael Lutheran School, And I and a couple friends start a food fight in the cafeteria. And I get detention. And we have to stay and clean up the entire cafeteria. But I'm supposed to leave a little bit early to go get my Do the Right Thing Award. So I go to the vice principal's office, and I say, I can't do detention today. I'm getting a Do the Right Thing Award. And she looks at me, and her face drops. She knows what it is. You're in the paper. And she goes, you're getting a what? And graciously, She lets me go and get my award. I don't have to serve detention. My three friends had to stay and clean up the whole cafeteria that day, which really, I did start the whole thing. And I'm getting a Do the Right Thing award where my friends are sitting there cleaning up the cafeteria from the food fight. And what's amazing about the story is how well it parallels undeserved grace that we talk about today. Because see, I didn't deserve the award in the first place. Just like we don't deserve to put on the righteous robe that Christ earned with his perfect life. He puts it on us and we go, really, me? I get this? And then he goes and cleans up the mess that we left behind in our stead. And that's what's incredible about undeserved grace. And that's why when we talk about baptism today, baptism is one of the many ways that God gives us undeserved grace. And it's incredible. We don't deserve it at all. But he gives it graciously. And then he goes and cleans up the mess. And so today we're going to talk about, are you baptized? And there's really two separate things that we need to talk about here. One, if you are not baptized today, I'm going to try to convince you why you should. Why you are missing out on an incredible gift of God. And if you are baptized today, what we're going to be talking about is what's the next step? After you're baptized, what is the next step? What do you do? How do you live as a baptized person? How does that change your life? Because in our text for today from Romans, this is what Paul is writing to the Romans about, is they are baptized and they're having trouble understanding what that really means for their lives and how that impacts their lives. Because we know that baptism is something that we throw out all the time. We hear people, we hear different denominations, different friends, baptism, baptism, baptism. Everybody does it. A bunch of people do it differently. And so today what we're really going to be talking about is we're going to refute the things that baptism is not. And we're going to talk about what baptism is. And so today what I really want is I understand that many of you are probably baptized. Some of you aren't. If you're not, I want to try and convince you. If you are, you might have some of those misconceptions too. And so I want to talk about what baptism is, wonderful blessing that it is. And so we'll dive into that today, looking at Paul writing to the Romans. Because see, the biggest thing we need to do today is we need to understand what is baptism. How does it work? What are you supposed to do? Who does the work in baptism? And how do you live after being baptized is some of what we need to tackle today. And I have a unique kind of baptism because a lot of people were baptized as infants in our church. I was not. I didn't go to church until sixth grade, so I got baptized in sixth grade, and I remember my baptism. I remember that day leading up to that morning. I kept thinking, man, this is going to be awesome. I wonder what it's going to feel like. I wonder if I'm going to feel different. I wonder what superpowers I'm going to have afterwards. Like, I'm getting baptized. What is going to happen? And so that day came, and I was baptized in church, and we had a lunch afterwards, and then all the family left, and I was sitting there by myself thinking, I kind of feel the same. Like, what happened? I know this was a big moment. I know that God washed away my sin. But what's next? I don't understand. Like, how does this change me? And what am I supposed to do? Because I still have the temptations that I had. I still struggle with sin like I did. And so I'm confused as to what I'm supposed to do next. And so were the Romans. The Romans were baptized and they were confused. What do we do now? And what Paul specifically writes to them in verse 1 is this. He says, are we to continue to sin so that grace may abound? And this was their big misunderstanding of baptism, is they believed that once they were baptized, they were in. They were safe. They were good. They could live their life however they wanted. They could do whatever they wanted. Sin didn't affect them anymore. God no longer held them accountable to anything. They believed once baptized, always saved. And we have people today that believe this. We have churches today that confess this. We have people today that believe this, that will tell you, once I was baptized, and so that means I get to do whatever I want now. And Paul's writing to them and refuting this. He's saying, look, that's not the way it works. It's not once saved, always saved. God baptizes you, and he forgives you, and he cleanses you, but you still have to walk the walk. You still have to follow him. We are not once saved, always saved. And he refutes this strongly in verse 2. He says, by no means. The Greek is much more direct and blunt. He says, by no means is this true. You don't just get to keep doing bad things saying, well, no matter what, God's going to save me. I'm covered. Because your heart's not following Christ at that point. And we know that how you are saved is faith in Jesus Christ. And so when we look at baptism today, we want to tackle the why, the who, the what, and the how of baptism so that we can really understand this. And the why is pretty easy. Why are we baptized? It's a simple answer. Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, said, do it. And when the Lord of the universe, your Savior and your God, says, go get baptized, it's a pretty simple why. God told you to do it, so go get baptized. He commands this of all his believers. Go and get baptized. And then when we ask the question, well, who is it for? The scriptures answer that for us very clearly as well. God says very clearly, it's for everyone. It's for anyone and everyone. Any age, any gender, any race, any background, it's for everyone. And we know here at Grace, we baptize infants. Not everybody does that. Why do we do that? Well, we understand the scriptures to say very clearly, everyone. Everyone. And it doesn't have an age requirement there. It says everyone. And then we even know from the scriptures that children can have faith too. We see John the Baptist, who we talk about, leaping in the womb when he's encountering Jesus. Children can have faith. And we know that rebirth happens. 2 Timothy tells us that when baptism happens, rebirth happens. And so children are baptized in the Lutheran church because that promise and that grace is for them too. It's for all people. And we know that certain people think, well, you can't get baptized until you make a choice to follow God. Well, who's doing all the work in that situation, in that relationship? Because we know that baptism is all about what God does for us, to us, blesses us. It's not our allowing God to be God that makes him God. God is God. And we simply acknowledge him and respond to him. And so he says be baptized. It's not our choice. And what we understand here is that it is for all people. And so once someone starts to come to faith and the Holy Spirit's working on them, the next step is naturally to get baptized, to confirm that faith and to strengthen that faith in God. And then we got to change the question, well, how does that happen? How does baptism work? And it's a miraculous thing. We know that there's water and there's God's word. The water doesn't have to be special. There are certain churches that bring holy water from the Jordan River where Jesus was baptized. That's not necessary. It's just simply water. And it's the promise and the words of God that make it the special thing that it is, the forgiveness of sins. When you take the triune name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, combine it with the washing of water on the individual, that's what happens. Their original sin is washed away. They are marked as one of his own. Now, a couple things here. It only takes one. When you are baptized, God makes a promise with you and latches onto you, and you latch onto him in baptism. You can walk away from that relationship, come back, walk away, come back, come back. But God's promise never lets go. And so those congregations that say, well, you were away, so come back and get baptized. No, because what you're saying is that God let go of his promise. God never let go of his promise. Whether you come away or come back, that's on you. But God makes a promise with you in baptism. And that's why it's so special to make this promise and to allow this to take place. And the last thing is, we know that there's multiple ways to baptize. We see churches where they do full immersion, they dunk those people. We see sprinkling, we see washing. And the thing is the scriptures tell us it's simply a water washing. It can be any of those. And they're all valid. And here we just wash. But it's valid. When you combine water with the words and the promise of God, it's baptism. And so there's many ways to do that, but that's the how of what it does. But then we get into the tricky one. The tricky one is, what does it do? Because the practical side of this has a lot of question marks. Well, now that I'm baptized, what? What has happened? What do I do? What's the next step? And what we know is this, you can be saved apart from baptism. We can look at the thief on the cross who at the very last second of his life came to faith, and he is in paradise, as Jesus said. And so you can be saved apart from baptism, but God calls us to be baptized. And to willfully not be baptized is a sin. And so what happens in baptism is very important because a person is washed of their original sin. What we see is three things. Their past is changed, their present is changed, and their future is changed. In baptism, what happens in the past is two things. First, your original sin is washed away. And we live in a day and age where people like to say things like, well, kids are born innocent and pure, and no. Who has kids in the room? Are kids born pure and innocent? No. As a father of two little girls, I can attest that most of my day is spent saying, no, you are going to eat that. Put that back in your mouth. No, stop smothering your sister. Let her go. Please, go to bed. No, go to bed. No, go to bed. No, go to bed. No, you can't watch TV right now. No, you can't color on the siding of the house. Please use your chalk on the sidewalk. No, please don't run into the road. You know, as a parent, your kids do not have to be taught how to be naughty, do they? They pick that up all on their own. And so that is the verification, the tangible verification for us to say we are all born with original sin. But we know the scriptures confess this. You go all the way back to Adam and Eve, when they fall into sin, they pass that terrible heritage down to every person born, that we are born into sin. We come with an original sin. And what's beautiful in baptism is two things affect our past. The first one is we are washed of that original sin. We are forgiven and washed. And we are no longer that old person, that old self, that sinful self. We are a new person, a new identity in Jesus Christ. And we are a part of a new family in Jesus Christ. The second thing that happens in our past with baptism is we are immediately intertwined and united with Christ. Immediately. And his fate becomes our fate. That's what Paul's talking about in these verses where he says, don't you know you're baptized with him in his death and in his burial and in his resurrection too? But we are immediately intertwined with Jesus Christ in his fate through baptism. It's kind of like this. When I watch movies, I like to put myself into the movie. What would I do? Does anybody else do that? Like, I'm totally smarter than everybody in every movie. I'm like, oh, man, now that I've seen the end, I would do this and this and this and this. But Poseidon Adventure. Has anybody ever seen Poseidon Adventure? Terrible movie if you ever go on a cruise. Don't watch it. I've never been on a cruise because of it. But what happens in the movie is the cruise flips over because of a big wave, and everybody's trapped in the boat, and everybody is at that moment immediately trying to figure out how they're going to survive. And this is a lot of what it's like, what we're talking about today. What are you going to cling to? Are you going to cling to yourself? Are you going to say, well, I'll figure out the way out. I'll rescue myself. Are you going to go and find the strongest person out there and say, this person's going to save me? Or are you going to go and find the person that's the smoothest talker, that person's going to save me? Are you going to just sit and wait to be rescued and just say, I just hope something happens? Me, myself, when I watched that movie, I immediately knew what I would do. I would go find the first engineer I found. And I would be like, you're an engineer. You know how this thing's built. Let's go. I'm with you. And that's immediately what we talk about in baptism in the past, is we get intertwined with Jesus. And his fate is our fate. And we say, Jesus, we're trapped. We're going to die. You are the one I want to follow. You're the engineer here. You've modeled this whole thing. You've built this whole thing. You know how it works. I'm following you. I'm putting my faith in you that whatever your fate is my fate. You say you can beat death. So does everybody else here. So does every other religion. So does every other. They say they can do it. I'm putting my faith in you that you are going to do it and come through. And I'm going to follow you. And that's what we do in this. We get intertwined in baptism to say, Jesus, my fate is now your fate. You die, I die. You rise again, I rise again. We are intertwined now. That's what happens in baptism. And so baptism changes our past. It unites us to Christ. And it also washes away our original sin. But what does it do for our present? In our present, baptism, Luther says this. He says, baptism gives us a fighting chance against the battles of sin in our daily lives. That every day we are to wake up, remember our baptism, and that our old self was drowned in those waters, and the new person came forth cleansed and righteous. And we take that strength to hold back our evil desires and temptations. What Luther is saying is because of our baptisms, what we do is we wake up and we say, you know what, I still have the struggle of sin. I still have these struggles of temptation. But I remember that Christ washed me. And he cleansed me, and he drowned out that old person, and I'm a new person. And I'm going to cling to that promise, and that's what I'm going to use to encourage myself and work with Christ to overcome the challenges of today. I am not alone in this. I'm not that terrible person that made bad choices in the past. I'm a new person in Christ, and today I'm going to live as that new person. Our baptism encourages us to do that, and so it changes our present, but it also changes our future. See, our baptism is a promise from God that we are now part of his kingdom, an heir of his throne, and we are promised to live with him forever if we cling to our faith in Jesus Christ. We know that we can walk away. Even baptized people can walk away, reject God, and they will end up in hell. You are not once saved, always saved. But if you cling to your promise, God will come through. And our future is forever changed. And so, what does this mean for us today? Two things. One, if you are not baptized today, and I understand here at a Lutheran church where most of our baptisms are children, you might be sitting there and say, well, I'm an adult. That's embarrassing to say I haven't been baptized. I don't want to come up. Let me say something to you. It would be like this. It would be like you driving around in your car, and on the radio they say, hey, you have won $1 million right here at the station. Come by and pick it up. And you go, that's kind of a far drive. If you are not baptized today and you're sitting here saying, well, I'm kind of old, so I don't want to do it, you are leaving an incredible gift on the table. You are leaving a promise and a blessing and a grace-filled blessing from God on the table. Foolishly, out of your own pride. If you're not baptized today, come down, get washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, have the water wash over you, wash away that original sin, mark you as his own, claim you to be his son and his heir, his daughter and his heir, and come and do it. It's a blessing that you are literally just leaving on the table and walking away from this place. If you are not baptized today, talk to us after the service. Talk to Pastor Rich, talk to Pastor Mark or myself. Come and be baptized. The second thing that this tells us is for those that are baptized. See, what Paul is writing to the people in this text is he's telling them very clearly, just because you are baptized, you are not immune to sin. You are not unaffected by sin. Verse 11, it says this, so you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to Christ. You have to understand, dead to sin. What he's literally saying there is a corpse. He's saying, when sin is passing you by, you are a corpse. You're dead to it. You're not acknowledging it. You're not going with it. You're just dead to it. And you are alive in Jesus Christ. If you are baptized here today, he is saying, use your baptism to fight the good fight. Understanding that you have been washed and you're a new person. No matter how many commands sin may give you, you strive to follow God's will. And we will be tempted. But we think back and we remember that baptism. It says this, your life was and continually is renewed by virtue of your baptism. And I want to focus on that word renew for a second. Have you ever had a moment in your life where you felt renewed? Where you felt revived? I mean, this is kind of a hokey question, but I'm going to develop it for a second, and I mean this. Do you have that happy place? Whether it was that moment in your life, whether it was your wedding, whether it was a vacation you took, whether it was a point in your childhood, a certain Christmas, do you have that happy place in your life that you can go to? For me, I'll share mine. I grew up in Fort Myers, Florida, at the beach all the time, you know, the beautiful ocean, sea breeze, and I didn't appreciate it until I left. And then I left in Texas, and I lived in Missouri and Colorado, and now here, I miss the ocean. And there's something special about when I get to go home and you fly in and you're out over the Gulf and you see all that water and then you step out and that sea breeze hits you, that warm sea breeze and the ocean sounds. And for me, it's not a particular house in my hometown because we moved around a lot. It's my grandpa's house, my papaw. For me, that is my place. Because I can go back and I can remember being a little kid and he's only got like an acre or two. It's not much. It seemed like, you know, the biggest field I had ever seen in my life when I was a kid because I could just run eternally. You know, at my house, there were streets and cars and I wasn't allowed to do this. At Grandpa's, man, at Papaw's, I could do whatever I wanted. I could just run and he has all these golden retrievers and I can remember so many days of just being out there in the sunshine and playing and no cares and no worries. And he has this swing, this little hammock swing. I can just remember laying there and I would close my eyes and maybe you've done this when you're under a tree and you close your eyes and the sun's hitting you but the wind's blowing the leaves and you can just feel the sun moving across your face and I could listen to the wind. For me, that's my happy place. I can go back to that moment and just, that was peace. That was where I felt my soul was revived. That was where I felt my spirit be at peace. Friends, today, the lesson we're supposed to learn is our baptism, whether you remember it or not, is supposed to be that moment for you. It's supposed to be that moment when you look at the world and you look at the sin and you look at the trials that you go back and say, but I was baptized. There was a moment of my life where I was washed clean, where I stood before the Lord as righteous on this earth, where I was totally clean and forgiven of all things in front of Him. And that's supposed to be our beautiful moment that we step back and that's our happy place. And we go into the day with that happy place and that joy and that peace. There was a moment that I stood before God, forgiven and righteous, and there will be a day where that will continue for all time and all eternity. That's the motivation of our baptism. That's what it's supposed to do, to give us that joy and that peace and that hope of what is to come, and to cleanse us and make us right with God. That's the joy that we have. And so I want you to feel that freedom. That freedom, whatever sins are challenging you right now, whatever trials and tribulations you're going through, feel that freedom. Feel that sun on your face, because God is coming to you today and He is saying, you were baptized. Remember that moment. Even if you can't, know what that moment is for you. It's a moment when you have been freed from all things and you're at peace. And if you haven't been baptized, man, come down here and get it done. Have that moment. Have that moment of standing righteous before the Lord, forgiven of all things, and welcomed into His family as one of His own. Make that promise and that covenant with Him that He says, I'll never let go. Come and do it today. We'll do it right after this service for all people to see. Come and tell us. We'll do it. I want to close today by praying for you all. Will you close your eyes, bow your heads, and join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we come before You and we thank You that You have offered us this incredible gift in baptism, that You have offered to make us white as snow, to cleanse all of our past, and that You allow Your own Son to pay the price for the mess that we make, and You put His righteous robe on us. Lord, we thank You for what You have done through baptism, that You have changed our past, You have changed our present, and You have certainly changed our glorious future. Lord, we thank You for that gift. And Lord, we pray that we would use that gift to strengthen ourselves and encourage ourselves and walk through this life that You have before us, knowing that we are Your beloved child and all the blessings that You offer. Lord, we praise You and we thank You here today. And all God's people said, Amen.